If work's piling up around you and getting delayed, big hint. If people are, well, like if you aren't available and suddenly things happen a little bit faster than they would be before, or things are starting to happen, you find out afterwards that you thought you should be involved in, that you might be being a bottleneck. It might be that your inputs would be helpful, but perhaps they're not so helpful.
The Ripple Leader Podcast, a resource for leaders who want to cultivate clear and confident leadership skills that ripple out to leaders around them and throughout the organizations they lead. Each episode, we gain actionable insight from Chris Hutchinson, veteran organizational advisor, CEO of the Trebuchet Group, and author of Ripple, Field Manual for Leadership That Works. What do I do as a leader if I perceive that I'm the bottleneck? Or how do I know?
How do you even know?
Inkling that, what would be guideposts to know that I am the bottleneck and I am becoming the limit on what's possible in the organization?
Yeah.
And how do I remove that pinch point?
You're absolutely right. And I think this is just natural growth of organizations and people that happens with us. So some things you might see that might start giving you a clue that something's happening. A couple things. One thing is work piling up in front of you. I mean, are you like Friday afternoon, you're trying to figure out how to get through a whole bunch of approvals or challenges that maybe that's part of what your organization does for safety and make sure that everything's checked. Or maybe it's something that's more of your desire to make sure we do the right thing and that it goes the right way and that you're controlling enough to make the right thing happen. We don't want to have uncontrolled organizations, and over-controlled organizations are also not good. So there's a too much, not enough, just right kind of place in that. So if work's piling up around you and getting delayed, big hint. If people are, well, like if you aren't available and suddenly things happen a little bit faster than they would be before, or things are starting to happen, you find out afterwards that you thought you should be involved in, that you might be being a bottleneck. It might be that your inputs would be helpful, but perhaps they're not so helpful, or the fact that you're not able to give those inputs is helpful. And I think the other indication that, and these are all, I've all experienced all of these, so I'm not like you all out there, I have had this, where you're starting to see people that are maybe holding back a little when you're asking for their perspective. They're sort of waiting for you to make the call about something. They're, you know, it's not happening unless you push, or they're waiting for you to sort of say, here's what I think would be good. They're like, great. And then they go off and do something about that because maybe you've been correcting them too much. Maybe you've been doing this to the point where they don't feel confident that they can go do it. Therefore, you become a bottleneck. Even if it's positive approval, that can become a bottleneck because I don't know if I can do my job. I want to make sure the boss is okay. Just heard something this week. A new employee was coming in and the leader had felt pretty good that people were doing a good job of doing the work and being able to train each other on them. And at the end of the week, she said, hey, how is it going? And they kind of rolled their eyes a little and said, well, I don't know. I think I'm wasting people's time. Oh, really? That's interesting. Tell me more. I say, how do you do this? They go, well, here's how you do it, but you need to ask the boss. You probably want to check with the boss. And this leader was looking at me and like, what the hell? I mean, I'm trying really hard and I don't want them to check with me. I said, well, you're really good at this stuff, right? Well, yes, I am, but I want them to be good. I get it. But, and oh, by the way, you have authority to decide what's the best thing to do, right? Well, yeah, but that's why, you know, so it doesn't have to be personal. Like I need to be over you. It could be just, we've grown into this place where I've gotten promoted or something's happened to where the things I used to do, I'm still pretty good at it. And I also have the authority to override if it's not the right thing. Therefore, why would I as an employee do anything else except come to you? Now you're a bottleneck, even though you've tried not to be. So it can be hard, and it's not personal frequently. Could be that the employees always had the bad things happen, and so they come to you and say, you tell me what is okay, I'll go do that. My risk is abated.
I have echoes of a story, I think maybe I heard from you, that a team had a verification process where there was a leader who just had to have themselves inserted in that process to the extent that the team would actually put flaws in the delivered product so that leader could find it
And feel good about what
they were
doing.
And then there was one time that they didn't check it.
That's right. Yeah, I was. This guy's head was in his hands. I was sitting there waiting to go in to see this vice president of engineering. It's like, oh, we forgot to put in the mistake. I was like, what? And we had enough relationship. He sort of said, well, what you just said. And, the vice president of engineering will find a mistake. And so we try to make something really obvious so that if they can change it, see, you need me. They feel good. Everybody feels good. It's a silent conspiracy. Not bad intentions at all. He's like, we forgot to put something. He's going to change something and screw it up. We've done 12 months of engineering, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I just was like, this can't be good for anybody. And he just kind of shrugged his shoulder and said, that's the way it is. He'll keep going until he finds something, then tell us why he's better and that we need him.
Would it be fair to say that some of the work a leader needs when they come to find that they are the bottleneck, so whether they perceive that or they're concerned about that, but there's kind of some internal work that needs to happen around how they're validated as a leader?
Oh, yeah.
What would that work be, and how do you go about doing that?
I think the first thing that we do, and by the way, I'm just going to put it out there. Every time you say a leader, I feel this little pang in my heart, like, oh, yeah, I did that. Oh, God, that hurt. Oh, I didn't know I was doing something
bad. Wait, let me check. Are you human?
Yes.
Okay, we've probably done
it. Yeah, I've got it. Well, and probably being aware of it is also keeping me away from doing it again. So it's good that I've had these experiences where it's like, man, I did not mean to do something that wasn't helpful. That was not my intention, but it sure ended up that way, and I'm responsible. So anyway. Thank you for the permission to be human. I appreciate that. So one of the things that I've been doing since actually my team and I have decided, oh, yeah, we're going to give you a four-month sabbatical. 4 months sabbatical. And Diana, who is the majority owner in our business, is actually also taking that sabbatical with me. So two people who have been in the business probably the longest are going to be walking away for 4 months and...
Probably.
Definitely walking away and handing the keys and saying, we trust you, you know what you're doing, and we'll see you in 4 months. So that's a big challenge. So preparing for that, it was like, okay, where am I in the way? Where am I, everything's going to come to a grinding halt, or somebody's going to have to figure something out that I haven't prepped them for in that time. And so I made a little 2x2 grid, and it's a really helpful way to do it. So this is one way, if you think you're in the way, it's like, okay, what would I let go of? What should I double down on? How would I do that? So the 2x2 grid basically on one side says, what does the business need and not need? The business needs it and not needs it. And the other one says, what things am I great at and what things, you know, and I love, and what things am I not so great at and I don't love? Now, there's things that I could be great at that I don't love. That's another thing. But anyway, so we have these boxes. And the one box that says you're great at, you love it, and the business really needs it, I need to make sure that I'm doing more of those. Now, in a sabbatical, I'm going to have to let go of that. But if I really focused on those that I was really helpful and the business needed it, maybe need to stay out of the way of some things. That would be really good. Terrific. Those things that I don't like and the business doesn't need, that's an easy. Like, we just let go of that. Stop doing that. The things that I don't like and the business still needs, those might be a good thing for delegation. Who else has a strength that I don't have where it could be even more effective than me struggling through it? There's the leftover piece, which I hope to explore in the sabbatical a bit, which is I love it and the business doesn't need it. And as you sort of ascend in leadership, those things that I used to be good at or maybe still good at, the business doesn't need me in it. I'm going to cause problems. I'm going to swoop in and change things that aren't helpful. I'm not actually adding value and could get in the way of other people's growth. With those things, I need to go get a hobby.
Okay.
Like, I need to go do something hands-on for me so that I don't do hands-on things in the business. Yeah. Scratch the itch, because it's a good itch to have, but just it's not helpful here. Yeah. And so if I can do that, that's one way I think you can start looking at everything on your plate and go, don't do, delegate, do elsewhere, and keep doing.
Or you look and say, hey, what all would I have to get rid of to go on a sabbatical?
Yeah, right. The hard part is even in that bucket where I have these things that I love and trying to figure out how can I convey what I think is the important outcomes? Mm-hmm. How can I help other people get their inputs into it? So it's not like, here you go, just, you know, don't scratch the car. Mm-hmm. It's more of something we're jointly working on for a while. And then it's like, I think you got this. Yeah. And when I come back, maybe I'll get to do it too. Yeah, or maybe I'll have to get another hobby.
And not in a jesting way, but it is a very practical and pragmatic and effective way to think through where the bottlenecks are.
Yep.
If you start thinking more end in mind type of perspective. And now, you know, in your case, it's a planned sabbatical, but there are people who take unplanned sabbaticals.
Oh yeah.
Right. There are people that are, that something happens in their family and they just have to punch out for a while.
Totally.
I mean, my wife had a partner in her business that her, her son had cancer and she was just gone for 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you just had to figure out what that looked like.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's, if you can, and nobody wants to have to make those decisions when you get there.
Right.
Right. Because then you're making those in a triage mode.
Yeah.
And that that may be great, or, but at the bare minimum, it's not fun.
Right.
So by front running that and saying, okay, well, okay, let's imagine that I was going to go into sabbatical in 6 months from now, and I was going to be gone for X amount of time, using that grid that you just outlined and mapping everything. And then even of those things that you're like, okay, I'm good at the business needs. How can I then delegate those out, or who's the understudy?
Right. Sure.
Or, which could be person or process that could backfill that, which can get us in a better position around that.
Totally. And I think it's really, it's humbling at times. It's also interesting for me to even have put that out there to go, it just feels like things I just do. And so to actually step back and look at them and saying, okay, how valuable is that? How helpful is that? Is that something where it's just me putting my touch on it? Or is it me helping the organization go forward? And I think it's difficult, especially as a founder, especially after being in the business a long time, if you're a founder or not, is that it can feel like the things, the way that we do things, that I do it, is the way we should keep doing it. And that's not necessarily the case. So trying to sort of egoectomy, you know, like pull it out and say, okay, so what is it? How does it help the organization? Getting other people's perspective will also help people, I hope, feel like they own it too. It's not like, well, that's a Chris thing or that's a leader thing. It's like, that's a business thing that we're doing or an organization thing. How can I contribute and learn and grow into that?
Yeah. This is a little aside, but it just came to my thinking. You alluded to the ego thing. And I think that is such a challenging dynamic as a leader with an organization.
Oh, yeah.
'Cause so much of your identity can be tied to the organization and what it's doing, and even your role and your role in that. And yet there is some reflective posture that needs to be taken, suggested to be taken, that says, hey, the longer I hold into that, the more I'm going to limit the organization.
This is the hardest stuff I think I've done. And I think any leader does, is the place where I feel like I've added value, I add value, I'm making a difference, I'm contributing, I feel good about my contributions and I know they're decent. And I mean, everything is screaming, don't let go of that. That's not helpful. Ultimately, it's going to be, you know, I'm just going to go down the other side of the curve if I hang on to that. You've seen organizations where people can't let go and the organization will shrink to them. That's them, if at all. Or sometimes it ejects them, like, okay, guess what? Steve Jobs, were taking you out of the CEO role. Now, maybe they need him back or something, but a lot of times it's like just doing it your way is not going to be what the organization necessarily needs. It's very humbling to realize that. And at the same time, it can be freeing, I think. And it's like, oh, it isn't all about me. It's about what we're trying to do together, and let's see how, what's my responsibility to create stewards beyond me, to help other people be able to step up into this in a way that we can all be proud. I mean, I get really excited when I see team members that take something and run with it. I'm like, this is cool. Like, everybody wins. I'm not in the way. They're getting to grow. We get better results. Win, win, win. And yet there's a lot of, you know, in the back of my head is saying, wait a minute, you know, what do you have to do? In fact, I'm working with a leader right now, chairman of the board, founder of the company, has grown up through it, and we've been lucky to be alongside. And he's like, what do I do? Like, all he has is some meetings. People aren't really calling him. And he's like, I don't want to, in the meeting that I'm in, say something, because I know people, and they tend to do this. They're going to be like, okay, that's the way we should go. We'll defer, right? And he doesn't want deference. And he does want to add his opinion, but he can't. And if he just sits there quietly, they kind of make up stories about, well, what is he doing here? And he also in his head is like, what am I doing here, right? So we actually talked a lot about there's another option. The other option is asking questions. And what I try to do as a leader, there's times when I'll feel like, ooh, we should really be caring about the people here. And rather than saying, so how are we going to care about the people here? I might ask you, how important is it for people to be part of this? So I'm curious and I'm open. I have an inkling, but I'm not saying this is the way we got to go. And I'm asking what you think. And you could say, not a big deal. I'd, you know, oh, interesting. My perspective might be different. Or ooh, that's actually pretty important. Well, what do you think we should do? You know, so either way, we're deepening our relationship and getting clear about what's happening. But that is definitely an egoectomy. It's not like, well, let me tell you how to do it. It feels great to do that. Like, I'm helping, you know. And yet that might be actually unhelpful.
Mm. There's a practice that you think about or a principle from Ripple that is tied to this, and that is do the hard things. Say more about what you mean with that principle.
I think doing the hard things means doing the things that nobody is going to figuratively put a gun to your head or give you a lot of, you know, something where they're like, you must do this. Nobody's going to say, you must let go. You must build better relationships. You must make sure that you have a bench. And the challenge with those vitally important things that aren't urgent is you can not do them for a long time until now it's too late. It's just like health or anything. It's like, well, no, it's kind of okay. It's kind of okay. Not a big deal. Now, okay, now you've got an exam that says, no, there's actually something really wrong. And you've had years that you could have been doing something different and gotten to a healthier place. But now we have to do some extensive surgery or something's, you know, and you may never get that capability back. So I try to think of those things, even though it's uncomfortable, is to do the hard stuff and step into that even when it's difficult, even when it's hard to let go. I mean, this is a 4-month sabbatical after 21 years in the business. We've taken weeks off here and there, but not like this. And so it's forcing me to think about what's my role and what's other people's, what are we doing together? It's very hard right now. And it's only 13 and a half weeks away. So I'm freaking out a little bit about it. And at the same time, I'm excited as all get out because I think that it could show where we can go in the future, where I'm just a supporting player and the business is going forward the way it needs to go.
So if you're a leader who perceives, thinks maybe you are the bottleneck, mm-hmm. one, you're not alone.
Absolutely
this is,
not.
This is a common, yeah. common thing. In fact, it's the path of least resistance.
I would be worried if you were like, no, I'm never a bottleneck. It's like, you're probably the
worst bottleneck. Who else could we ask?
Yeah, right? yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go through and map, you know, what's most important, what's business need.
Yep.
Even go through the practice of pre-thinking a sabbatical. What would it mean that if you were not there? And do that as part of doing the hard stuff right now.
Absolutely. And engaging in those difficult conversations and putting yourself in a place where you're going to be a little vulnerable and you're going to have to ask for help. And I think doing that hard stuff means that it gives everybody else permission to do the same.
Yeah. And ultimately will allow everybody, not just yourself, to thrive.
Right.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
To help you help your team members figure out where they want to go and how their individual strengths can be utilized to do great things for the team and themselves, grab a copy of Chris's book, Ripple, a field manual for leadership that works. You can find the links to get Ripple as well as a free resource to help you equip those you lead in the show notes of this episode on rippleleader.com. If you found this content helpful, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do these three things. Follow the podcast on the platform of your choice, leave a review, and then share a favorite episode with a colleague or a friend. These three things help us create the ripples that we desire to see as well. The Ripple Leader Podcast is a production of the Trebuchet Group. The Trebuchet Group wants a world where everyone is thriving individually and collectively at work. You can find more about the Trebuchet Group at trebuchetgroup.com. I'm co-host Josh Schuler. Thanks for listening.